Let's do it.
All right, we got Craig in the chat. I guess probably we can start with Leo, SIP355, add extra views to spot markets. Leo, you ready to present?
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. So SIP355, this is a quick small change. Basically adding some views that were that wasn't added at the moment we created the contracts. So basically it's views or getter for some information that was already set there to allow interactors and developers access that data on chain easily. There are four new views that are proposed there. So one is get price data for a market ID that returns the configuration that was sent when we call update price data. Next is get wrapper data, same when you get the information that was used when you call set wrapper with the data. Get nominated market owner for a synced market ID that will give you that, the nominated new owner. And then get market SKU, that this is not a configuration, but is we are exposing a new some data that is there on the contract. It's the market SKU that wasn't available, so integrators should have to do some manual calculations on the data. So it's pretty that much. Nothing else that those four new views on spot markets.
Bit of a technical SIP. Does anyone have any questions for Leo before we move on?
I don't have any oppositions. However, I think once it's ready, it would be good to look at the before and after. I know our SIP format is limited to text, but it'd be nice to be able to see what exactly UI changes are being done.
All right. Thank you, Leo. I guess we can move on to SIP 2052. Bert, if you're ready, list CVX on Perps V2.
Yeah. This proposal is to list CVX on Perps V2. And I know before we even start this presentation, one of the big pushbacks is going to be that we are slowly rolling out V3. So, I promise this will be the last listing I ever propose for V2. If you can give me this, it'll be completely over after this. But the reason I am hoping that we can list CVX is because we've had a lot of people from the CVX community reach out directly and say that they would like to see this. CVX in particular has a community that has like a lot of Quanta traders and a very active trading community, not dissimilar from our own beloved DGen chat. So it's just a kind of a great business development and marketing move to make connections there. There are several perps markets. There are maybe not the most liquid coin in the whole world, so I assume the OI caps would have to be small, but there are, you know, listings on major exchanges. You can buy spot and go long and short. It does seem to fit the criteria of a listing, and has kind of an extra biz dev and marketing value versus other things that we could list. So this will be my last suggestion for V2 listing, but I am hoping that we can list CVX.
Thank you, Bert. Any questions on this suggested listing, CVX? All right, moving on. Caleb, looks like we have two SIPs and an SCCP from you this evening. Whichever one you want to start with. Maybe 2050. All right.
2050. I have three, right? Three SIPs. Two SIPs and one SCCP.
Correct. 2050, 2051, and then SCCP 2077.
Okay. 2050 is pretty simple. It's INR. We have we deployed INR back in the day when we initially deployed on Optimism because some people had asked for it and didn't trade at all. Basically, it just has $140 worth of open interest. And given that we're kind of not using it, and the currency itself in terms of market activity and accuracy in terms of the push is questionable because it's not a major currency, I think we could safely redeem it without impacting anything in terms of UX or users getting angry about it. Redeeming it doesn't mean we rug users, just like it means that we freeze the latest price. And so that whenever someone wants to redeem their INR, they can swap it on a contract to SUSD. So that's 2050. All right. I'll go for the next one. If no questions. SIP that has more interesting properties, the right way to frame it, is 2051. 2051 are the markets that we kind of saw that there aren't too much activity on them. And with the SIPs proposed by CAV, their max market value was reduced to zero. And they still have they're still active. And what this SIP proposes is to deactivate them 6 months from now. Deactivate them means removing them from the future market manager. And that entails allowing us to deprecate the Oracle, because we can keep them there, but we need to pay the Oracle monthly costs for stuff that isn't being traded. And that's something that's probably not optimal. So this is why we give a 6 month grace period for whoever has a position or has a margin to take it out. And after that, we deprecate the markets basically. I think since the time I posted this, the margin in dollars, especially for UMA and UMA and other stuff, has decreased. So it will continue to decrease slowly up to the time, hopefully, that we deprecate it. Any questions on this? All right, great. Now we'll get to the spicy SIP. SCCP. Okay. This is it's had a lot of back and forth to be able to get to that state of SCCP. SCCP 2077. Yeah, that's we started with the least contentious, then a bit more, and now this is we're at the peak. So 2077 addresses a problem. Tries to address it at least. The need to be for expedited action when you have a situation where markets cannot be provided, or we cannot make as LPs, we cannot provide markets. So providing markets means allowing people to open positions because the prices are not reliable, or there is some market activity off chain that's not allowing arbitrage to happen. So this is the continuation of SIP 2048. SCCP 2077 is that it configures the necessary things related to the risk module. Now, what are the things that are configured here? First of all, it defines what are the covered markets. These are the current markets that would be proposed to be covered. They're like the more the tail assets, considered to be more tail assets than the other markets like Sol, BNB, XRP, ETH, BTC. So these are the markets that are covered, DYDX, Maker, TIA. They're all specified in the SECP. And you have the second part, which is important, very, very important, is the controller of that module. It will not be a automated script, rather than it will be a safe, a notice safe, controlled by 3 of N, N being the members of PDAO. So basically what this does is like it allows PDAO to execute module action. However, the SCCP says specifically that PDAO cannot take action unless the Interim Risk Council approves this action. And the Interim Risk Council receives this power from, or delegation of responsibility from, the Sparkling Council. And the Interim Risk Council is accountable to the Risk Council in terms of usage of the module. So if they like tell PDAO, execute this, then they have to like kind of post-mortem explain to them why they executed it and what was the reasoning behind it. So it's pretty tight. In terms of control and accountability, hopefully eventually when we have a risk council, we won't need the PDAO anymore and they can take over the module itself directly. Until we reach such a stage, we need kind of a setup where you have a control, you have a checks and balances. So you have like the Spartan Council, they delegate to us to the risk council, interim risk council. And you have the interim risk council that can ask PDAO with a 3 of N multisig to enact a control on a specific market. So it's not automated and it requires like different individuals to sign. It's not as fast as I want it to be, but like I agree that with the discussions that we need to be careful about this because controls have to be there. So this is the best I can like kind of think of. Last thing is that SECP unpauses the module so that it becomes active. So there are three things: the coverage, the endorsed account, which is a gnosis safe controlled by PDAO but directed by the Interim Risk Council, designated by the Spartan Council, and unpausing the module itself. Happy to take questions on this. If there are any. If there aren't.
Oh, there are questions.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah,
I'm going to get away that easily.
No, yeah. Let me just kick you first.
All right. So can you walk us through what the practical process would be for a market being moved into closed only?
Okay.
Like, how do you see the flow?
Sure, absolutely. So we have off-chain scripts that are currently active, and they are looking at the at situations that would arise that would lead to synthetic LPs being not able to provide markets, and they use a bunch of factors, one of which being the a delta between pur prices and spot prices that are TWAPed, so they're like kind of reliable, not like spikes, you know. So that is like you have like a monitoring system. This informs the Interim Risk Council of a situation that calls for such a spike, and then you have like a deployer that can prepare the necessary transaction. And then you need like two guys on PDAO to sign off on what is prepared by the deployer. And these two, and the PDAO guys can only sign once the interim risk council signs off on executing that staged transaction. So first of all, you have like the monitoring that notices an event and prepares the transaction that needs to be signed. And then you have like interim risk council. He needs to look at the data and based on that judge as to the validity of the staged transaction. That's stage two. Stage three is like the interim risk council communicates to PDAO to ask them to execute the staged transaction. PDAO would sign it and execute it. The final stage is that interim risk council, being accountable to the Spartan council, has to provide a post-mortem as to why this was done and what's the reasoning and what are the repercussions on the debt pool.
Okay, that's helpful. one thing that is not clear to me in the SACP, maybe I'm just not Please. Following, is the signers, the mechanism by which the signing actually triggers close only, is this a new multi-sig that will be set up, and how are we enforcing that? For example, members of the PDAO can't sign.
No worries. I can give you 2048, the SIP created a module that, as allowed to, decrease open interest to zero, cannot increase it, cannot, alter it in any other way, and can only do it on certain covered markets, like markets that have been pre-configured on which action can be taken. So that module is a contract that hooks onto to our current contract and can take action. Now that contract is controlled by some endorsed account or some authority. And that authority is a safe that is, 3 of N PDAO owners owned safe.
Okay.
Is this clear? Or should I
It's not. It's not clear. Okay, so you've got a safe that is the endorsed owner of this module, right?
Yeah.
Who are the signers on that safe? Just the PDAO or is there
PDAO. No, PDAO. Only PDAO and the deployer.
Okay.
Yeah. And
so.
Yeah, go ahead.
So where does the interim risk council signer come in?
Interim risk council doesn't sign. They just authorize PDAO to enact a risk control verbally.
How do they verbally. Right? So there's no actual mechanism ensuring that the PDAO doesn't just do this.
You have to delegate some, the mechanism is probably you have a safe with bonding money on it, you can rug PDAO if they misbehave.
That's fair. I just wanted to understand how the actual signing policy worked on that safe. How you could have one member and then all of the PDAO, but now I understand it a little bit better. It's only the PDAO are the signers on this.
Yeah, only PDAO are signers. Yeah, and the deployer is important. And the deployer.
Yeah, of course, understood. So the deployer is triggered, and then you've got. Two additional signers are required.
True.
And it puts it into close only. Look, the back and forth, obviously, I don't love this, but I think it is maybe an acceptable compromise if we are working under the assumption that this is a thing that, has happened several times in the last couple of months and is potentially likely to continue. But yeah, it's definitely not a long-term solution. We need a longer-term solution. But
absolutely,
given the structure of it, I can personally, my view is I can endorse this. It's just sufficiently decentralized. It's right on the edge. And it is giving more power to the PDAO, which I don't love, but that ship sailed a while ago. we need to rug the PDAO holistically, at some point in the future and replace them with the risk council, at which point this would obviously go as well because the PDAO
Perfect. Yeah, no longer
exists. So Okay, all right.
That's the intuition behind it, to replace, when we PDAO is deprecated, probably there will be some solution for this as well. And I do want to mention that I did say previously that we shouldn't expect situations where we have to utilize it, but then like a week later, I was surprised with another one. So I don't usually these things don't happen often, you know, they're very rare, where markets break down. But I mean, if they do happen, it's good to have, and the PDAO, we kind of need to entrust that they will not use it unless they receive specific instructions to do so from the risk council.
Yeah, look, I think it's fair to say that historically they don't happen, but like in recent times they absolutely you know, the frequency has shifted for some reason. We don't know what the underlying reason behind that is, why the frequency has shifted, but like it's very clearly a thing that's going on right now, that these sorts of events seem to be more frequent for whatever reason. So yeah, the necessity of arguing is just the implementation.
It's not an attack on us. It's not an attack on us.
Yeah, no, of course, I understand. It's an attack on, you know, Binance or something weird like that. But yeah, it's definitely something going on that is causing market dislocation on a more frequent basis. So yeah, we need to be mindful of that for sure.
All right, beautiful. I just want to mention that every new listing that we have on V2X has to add, if they meet the criteria, have to be also covered by the risk module. So it has to be mentioned in the SCCP that enables it, that this market is also covered or not covered by the module, to be transparent about it. Okay. I guess I'll set up the votes on everything that was discussed today. Any questions? Great.
I had one question, which is nothing to do with how I'll vote, but last week we talked about how we'll just wait 2 weeks and then see if we want to actually push forward with an interim. Did something happen to accelerate the timeline?
Yeah, I mean, like, it takes a bit of time to get the risk council going, and we had a UMA situations that required that we accelerate a bit the timeline.
Okay.
Yeah, for context for the rest of the council, I dug into this pretty deeply this week, and you know, as I said, I'm convinced that something is going on. That they're, you know, they're people trying to exploit like Binance parameterization somehow, and that's what's causing it. It's definitely not related to synthetics directly. It's, you know, the only connection is like just arbitrage traders being triggered by the market dislocation. But someone's doing something to Binance for some reason across a bunch of different tokens, and you know, if we happen to have a market for those tokens, then we're going to get caught up in it. So I don't see any reason to expect that this won't continue, I guess, in the short term. So that's what sort of shifted my thinking away from a longer term to maybe a shorter term solution.
On CT, they're calling it the cabal. The token cabal. Or the perps cabal, sorry.
All right. I think that brings us to the end of the SIP presentations. There was some discussion of possibly continuing the sync. Cav, are you going to be leading that, or is somebody else going to take over from here?
Yeah, I think the question was, we feel it's really important to start talking more about the roadmap of the protocol overall. If enough counselors can hang around now, I realize we're at the end of our slot, then we could continue that conversation. Is there anyone who has to drop now?
No, I'd like to discuss.
Unfortunately, I got to bounce. I got other governance duties falling. But enjoy.
Without Chief Shitster, should we keep
should
going?
Should be much easier for you. Yeah, go nuts.
We're going to decide everything in the next 20 minutes. Look, what I have done is as a kind of to, even if we just start the conversation now, I think it's useful. I've put a draft in the draft link in the chat of some of the milestones that I suppose I've gathered from the people here. I've really just started this draft as a starting point to get the conversation going. So I think some of the Spartan councillors and their core contributors have already seen this draft. I've just put it together in the absence of anything else. But over the next couple of weeks, I think it was really important that this comes together and is ratified by the Spartan Council, even if just informally. We have an agreement on what we're aiming for, and I think that helps all of the governance bodies coordinate, as well as the core contributors have clear milestones that they're working towards. So I suppose I can turn it over to the other council members. Great to see the Spartan Council so opinionated about the things we should build.
I like the focus on milestones and being able to measure ourselves this way. And I think they're reasonably chosen milestones. I think I was more curious about two things that are not here. Maybe three things. Two and a half things. The first one is we were having this bridging conversation last year and decided to kick it to the next EPA or the next half. I forget which one. I'm wondering, you know, where it should fit in. And then the second thing was our migration plans. But I don't know if it's too early before we really stand up base and it's humming along to discuss migration plans. And then the half thing was sort of included, which is to think about a new chain deployment, except it requires some Lindy from base. So these are the two and a half things that aren't yet on this sheet.
I'll take that as a question for me with no other mics off and no one putting their hand up to discuss. Yeah, I mean, the way I've written these, the way I understand it, and I think is the general consensus of the CCs, is that getting proof from base is priority number one to prove out the V3 system with Purpose V3. And that gives us a lot of leverage to decide where to go next, to deploy that combination, as well as deciding if someone proposes a chain and if that's part of the V2 migration. I think my comment was that we needed somewhere to go before we talked about migrating from V2. So having some clarity on which chains and if we have an app chain or where the mothership is seems like a natural thing to figure out first before moving from somewhere. Does that answer the question or not?
Well, we have had this discussion where we're thinking about incentives. And I don't know how directly that overlaps with knowing that we're ready to fully migrate. I don't know if this question is clear enough or not.
I think incentives can be part of that, yeah, for sure.
I'm just picking up on, you know, threads that we have pulled on in the past, which is, you know, how do we steward the movement of capital, and we don't have to wait until everything's like super fine, right or not right.
Correct. And I think there's a number of informal conversations happening in the background with a number of prospective destinations for us to either launch an Andromeda-like deployment on different chains, as well as infrastructure providers and app chain kind of ecosystem. So I think those conversations are being had, and I think my view is that the determining factor is, have we seen enough proof in the system that we have? Because that's the thing that takes longer than having discussions about, you know, incentives or governance proposals. But that's just my take, and you know, I don't have any, I'm not on the council, I don't have any, I'm not on the Spartan council anyway, so I don't have any formal dog in this fight, apart from surfacing the discussions that I've heard and a personal opinion.
Mm. What about the other SCs?
I could speak to, I'm not really, like, I think we've talked about the scaling of the base deployment and all that stuff at length, but I can answer one of your other questions where I stand on any kind of cross-chain bridging. I would be very much against any kind of bridging integration into, like, the core of the protocol. As long as I'm on council, I'll vote against anything like that. So I'm a fan of the isolated deployments. I think there's a lot of diminishing returns in, like, deploying everywhere and then just, like, having cross-chain synthesis where the debt pool talks to each other. Like, it's messy. It's not optimal. I mean, realistically, like, having synthetics on, like, every niche roll-up has a lot of diminishing returns. It doesn't even make sense. And, like, then making all those chains talk to each other is, like, it's a no-go. Like, I personally, from a user perspective, it doesn't even add any value. And then from a protocol's perspective, it's, like, a lot of complexity and there's, like, a lot of risk that goes into it. So I would just vote against anything like that at any point. So, but on the other stuff, I feel like we've talked about it and a bit and sort of, like, it's sort of like move as we go and, like, decide as we go and try and scale base perps and see where it goes from there. But yeah, in terms of bridging, yeah, I'm like fully against that.
Okay, for the record, I'm very pro interoperability, but I am very concerned about security. Jackson, you want to go?
Yeah, I mean, we understand the concerns about security and bridging, but I don't think any of us are experts really in that field, which is therefore why we prefer to work with Wormhole or another protocol who, you know, are kind of like the experts and they're working with a lot of talented people to fix the bridging and cross-chain kind of like areas. What synthetics is focused on, unfortunately, but I mean, the risks are there, and I think when we last spoke with Wormhole, they have things that can actually reduce or limit the risk. But I think this discussion was more for the roadmap, not for like to just have a debate about each item. I'm not sure how.
Yeah. So I wonder if, based on what we've discussed today, bridging is an even further consideration than migration. Like, maybe we just drop it for an even longer time.
Yeah, because I think we've had a lot of discussions about bridging last year already between all of us. Like when we talked about having Wormhole chain and bridges to base. So I think it might be better if we focus the time we have now on the upcoming milestone. And also, I really would be interested to have to look at what are the resources and is there enough people working on each of these from the CCC side of things? Like, are you guys getting adequately funded to build a lot of these? And, you know, when you're looking at, because I mean, there'll be new chains that we're looking at, you know, other L2s, and you know, it seems like the team's very stretched very thin. Paul Caleb isn't going to have any sleep anymore, and yeah, so what's the plan from the core contributors?
I mean, I can only share my perspective, but I think and I've got a governance proposal coming up to help formalize some of, you know, who owns the roadmap and how we resource it. But I think for long enough now, we've had V3 on the horizon, and I think we've shipped a lot of those things. I think the next thing we need to do is, you know, governance. Spartan Council technically has the roadmap responsibility, but that hasn't appeared for, like, I don't know, a year or two. So that does need to change. But I think to answer the question, the first thing we should decide is what we're trying to achieve. I do agree that we're stretched kind of thin, but and it will get worse. It'll probably get worse before it gets better if we do additional deployments and still have V2X running. So that's the kind of thing Caleb was mentioning. Caleb doesn't need to sleep. Although I wish you would have an intern, Caleb. I've been trying to do that unsuccessfully, I think, for about 2 years. So I think the resourcing can kind of follow. And personally, from the Treasury Council side of things, I think there are a number of ways we can solve resourcing once we decide what it is we're trying to do. Otherwise, it seems a little bit back to front. That's why I've kind of surfaced this topic. I've made a draft of what I think we should be working towards, and I think that helps a lot in decide what resources are needed. So I don't know if that was really an answer, but I think that's the missing piece rather than, you know, talent or resources or capital.
Yeah, makes sense. I think that's a fair point. I mean, the roadmap itself is, I can see quickly here, you know, scale base, the experiment on base. And I think it seems like the open interests are now up to 1 million and that's going well. And then potentially scale to another chain, deploy V3. And I guess that would be another SIP upcoming. And then I'm not so sure if how important is moving elections on chain.
I feel like I'm talking a lot, but I'll interpret. I suppose they're my bullet points, so I'll at least explain them. Look, I think it is an important part of synthetics. It is one of the most legitimately decentralized governance kind of systems, and I think we can continue to improve both our governance and the gold standard of governance by moving some of the steps that are more manual fully on chain. I think, you know, that's something that's been in the works for a long time. It's mostly done. And so I think that's something it is important for us to get out and get done. And that is the plan this epoch. I don't think governance work stops, is my view.
I agree. It's something to work towards. Probably not going to move the dial for people to hold synthetics. Okay.
No, it won't, but it continues, you know, our legitimate censorship resistance and decentralization. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think it's kind of it's the important, not urgent thing that we should continue working on that should get released this epoch and can continue in future epochs as a small part of the overall workload.
Yes, makes sense. And then I see this really interesting one, item releasing L1 perps. Is that something we could share a bit about? I think this is quite new.
Yeah, look, it's been on the status list. It doesn't have a SIP for good reasons. The longest SIPs are presented before releases. Funnily enough, the sooner our competitors seem to want to launch some similar products. But that's it's a perp for L1 with maybe some gas optimization to make it worthwhile. That's already been through one audit. It's queuing up for the second. That's the update on that.
Very exciting from what I've heard about the L1 perps.
You're not looking closely enough at those updates, Jacko.
I'm not a competitor, so I don't sit there on the on GitHub. okay. So and then migrating SNX. So away from V2. What does that mean, Kev? Could you elaborate?
I mean, at some point, so that Caleb can get some sleep. The goal is that we migrate from V2X to the V3 system. That's always been the intention, but in order for us to do that, we need to know where we're migrating to. So the SNX that's currently in the V2X system underpins all the volume and all the profit that all the revenue that the protocol currently makes. And so we need to think pretty carefully about migrating that. And if we want to migrate that to V3, we need to be pretty clear about what the destination is. Is that the V3 system on Optimism and Ethereum, or is that on an app chain? It's unclear at this point. So we need to decide on that destination for the SNX collateral to migrate out of the V2 system.
So basically, it's the same thing we said earlier.
Yep. We need to, decide on the destination before we suggest moving SNX from the V2 system.
Okay. Jacko, are you happy? I wanted to go back to the item between election module and
yes.
Migration. Okay. So release L1 for
Cav. Yep, we can go back to that.
It's shown up on a number of updates, and we were roughly kind of aware. Can you maybe double click into these specific three things that you put down? Maybe audit is obvious. Maybe B and C.
Yeah, sure. So first of all, it's been through a major audit towards the end of last year with Open Zeppelin. There were some tweaks and some updates and some improvements that were made, and it's going through its second major audit, I think, by the middle of Feb, if I remember correctly. And so we just need to get through that second audit as a matter of how we operate. The second thing is, The second thing is that this is connected to the V3 system, not the V2 system. And as we mentioned before, all the collateral, the overwhelming majority of the collateral is currently in the V2 system. And so if we want to release this on L1, we need sufficient collateral in the V3 system on L1.
And when are we releasing it on L1?
I mean, technically the V3 system is on L1 and has been there for many, many months, but it hasn't, it's only got a small amount of collateral in it, and it isn't something that we've lent into and scaled up. We've been focused on base and scaling perps, which is really where I think the market has told us they want to use, and that's the product they want to pay for. Perps V2 has been running great on Optimism, connected to the V2 system, but this is the requirement to launch the L1 perp is to scale up the collateral that's in the V3 system on L1.
Do you have a number in mind?
I'm probably not the best person to answer that question. I don't know if anyone else. This is for the L1 perp, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
$1 billion, that would be a nice number. I suppose the answer is the bigger the better. Tens of millions, I guess, as a minimum.
Mm-hmm. So that will take concerted effort, right? It won't just happen by itself.
Probably not. That would, it's going to take maybe some incentives, probably some seeding from some people who know the protocol, and then proving that it works and it sees some yield from the utilization of the L1 perp. So yeah, I think that does take a bit of time. But again, I'm probably not the best.
Was this connected to Athena at some point? I have this recollection that Athena wanted. Yeah. Can you say more about how that's going?
I'm just reading what Afif's saying in the chat. Athena has 125 million. They'll move it all on chain. Is that LP collateral, Afif? If the rates are favorable, you mean the LP rate? It would be OI. Okay, so Athena wants 125 million OI if the perp funding rate is favorable. That's what I'm interpreting. And so, yes, good job, we got a gold star. Fuck, you really should just be on this call instead of typing and making me your teleprompter. For 125 mil.
Agreed, let's promote him.
for 125 mil, what's the LP required for that? 25? 50? 100 million in SNX. I think that's what you're saying. Good. Okay. So it's approximately 20%, 25, yeah, 20% or something of the SNX that's in the V2 system migrating to V3.
Mm-hmm.
That's assuming, yeah, that would be one good way to move the collateral over to the V3 system.
Okay. Wow. That's a big move.
Or if there was alternative collateral approved for the V3 system on L1, then that could also be an option. Okay. And the third one, just for everyone in the crowd, wrap stake ETH is what, if I'm recounting correctly, is what we need, as margin. So, because it's a delta neutral wrapstake ETH. Did I write that? Oh. Wrapstake ETH. To make a delta neutral position, it's long ETH, it's short ETH, and the mechanism you use is wrapstake ETH.
For Athena to do this, we need this to happen.
Yeah, so it's approving wrapstake ETH as margin for the perp. And if we did it on the collateral as well, it obviously allows us, the LP side, it obviously allows more people to come and deposit. And it's a great use, LSD. And now everyone's just typing long tickers in the chat. I think Caleb's gone to, oh no, he hasn't, he's still here. He might be asleep though. This is my interpretation of my own notes. Thanks for the question. It seems, no, this is good because I only put these together yesterday, so it's obvious they need to be bulked out.
I'm still here.
Hey, you're here.
No, I think it's helpful. If you put down too much, we might get lost, but, so it's good verbal overview. Okay, I have no more questions today, I think.
Can I ask a question? Why wrap stake ETH? Why not just ETH?
I think it's the way Athena works. Like, that's what they hold, and that's how they can do their stablecoin thing.
I think it's staked ETH because that's what people like holding as a base, and it needs to be wrapped so that we can do stuff with it.
I think. Right, but why staked ETH?
I don't know.
Did Athena specifically request that? Like,
as far as I know, yes, but someone smarter than me and more close to this project can answer that question. Yes, there you go. It's what makes the basis trade work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
the yield is so small. It's like 5% annually. Like, I don't see why, like, that's such a big deal for them.
Okay.
Like, it would be so much better if we could just use ETH. Is there no way to convince them of just doing, like, allowing ETH collateral? Because, okay, this is the way I'm looking at it. Like, we'd have to be opinionated about an LSD and the process of this. Like, I would prefer if we don't, right? And we just go ahead with ETH. And, like, because it would just keep our stablecoin more pure. And, like, you know, I know we want to, like, facilitate Athena, but then there's other ways it would just work for us better if it's just ETH, right? Like, you know, like, I don't know. Realistically, like, everybody just keeps piling on the same trade of, like, integrating systemically this LSD as if it is ETH, but it's really not ETH. And for that extra 5% like APR, like it could just be wiped out with one depegging event, like, and even more, right? So it's like, I really want to like scrutinize the merits here. Like someone tell me why we have to do this. Like, why does it have to be wrap stake ETH, which is like already so systemically integrated in every DeFi protocol?
5%, and that 5% just makes it a lot more better product than without
and the 5%. I don't even think it's that. I think it's less than that, actually, to be honest. But I'm rounding up here. Yeah, and DSAC's, Danny's saying 5% on stables is huge. 5% on stables is huge, but ETH is not stable. It is, like, its IV is, like, significantly high, right? So it's like, how appealing is the yield as, you know, the volatility increases? And the answer is, it's not very appealing. The more volatile ETH becomes, the less appealing the yield becomes, right? So, like, if we're trying to, like, I don't know, I just think, like, we should explore maybe doing this in the purest way. Like, I don't see why we shouldn't, especially since we're, like, being forced to choose an LSD. So, I don't know. That's my opinion. I'm always, like, going off about this. But, like, it's a little bit frustrating that every DeFi protocol just treats this, like, derivative as if it is ETH, because it's really not. And it's not as liquid as ETH either, right? So I just want to put that out there. Make sure everyone understands it.
Neely, you're reading the chat?
Well, we're talking about both margin for the perp as well as collateral, right?
Yeah, so I see what Lono's saying. Yeah, so it's both, right? And so I don't know. I would really just say, like, let's try it with ETH. Like, Athena will use it regardless, right? Even if it's not. But I just think, you know, like, it's just, if especially if you want to create, like, that ETH wrapper idea that Athena had in mind, like, it's just better to just try with ETH. Like, nobody tries it. Like, nobody tries it with just ETH. Everyone just assumes that, like, people want that yield. But, like, I've made this case a lot of times that it's not that attractive as ETH's IV increases, especially as we enter a bull market. Like, there's yields everywhere. Like, there's stable yields on Aave right now, 10%. Like, why is it so appealing to hold this staking derivative that can depeg and has depegged historically, right? Like, so let's just take that into account and, like, not just march forward on wrap stake ETH just because, right? Like, let's take in all, like, let's at least assume that there are some risks. At least let's admit that first before we're going to, you know, go ahead, because nobody seems to even admit that. And I'm sorry, like, I'm getting a little, like, hot about it, because it's just, I see the same thing playing over and over again with every DeFi protocol, like, I just treating this asset like it is ETH, and it's not. So I think I'll say, Afif is saying how Athena's backtested this, and I agree, in a bear market, the 5% is very appealing, but I feel like we're exiting a bear market now. And so, like, that whole appeal, it starts to drop off, right? As demand for leverage increases. And so, like, there's other ways to earn a lot more than 5%, right? And so, like, I don't know, as IV spikes, like, the demand for this thing just is not that much. And it takes, like, even like a small depegging, and it, like, kills off half the annual yield, right? And so, like, anyone who's not holding this for a full year is not even going to make money. They're going to lose money. So it's like, I don't know. It doesn't seem to me why we need to, like, shoehorn WST into this, like, when we can just at least experiment with ETH first. So I'm going to keep pushing this idea until, like, you know, like, I know for sure Afib's going to disagree with me, but, you know, if nobody, like, nobody seems to be taking this argument. It's just such a, like, obvious thing, right? Like, we can't treat this derivative like it is ETH.
You know, I think that's, like, possibly a fair point, except for the fact that, like, there's, do we have, like, another product, to even, like, another reason to even offer this on L1? Like, it doesn't seem like a wrap stake ETH versus ETH consideration, since Athena isn't going to use ETH. It seems like a do we want this to exist or not consideration.
Can we juice up the yields or partner up with Eigenlayer with the wrap stake beef? But I think that's definitely something we should explore then. a lot of protocols have been doing really well with restaking.
So again, I think we should try just with raw ETH first, and then see where it goes. Like,
I don't raw ETH and I don't understand what's the difference.
Well, first of all, like it makes the stablecoin more resilient, and then the other thing is like there was this really smart idea that Afif had like a couple of years ago. I think nobody cares about it anymore, but it was like, you know, the same Athena idea, but with just ETH, and it's sort of like, it's like a protocol issued stablecoin with, that's Delta Hedge, right? And it's like a wrapper where you just deposit ETH and you immediately get stablecoin in return, and it's, and a Delta Hedges on the ETH market itself, right? So it's like, and it's subsidized by longs, like the demand for ETH long. And then when we enter a bull market, that's where the demand is. Like, nobody fucking cares about this 5%, man. Like, everyone talks about, like, such a big deal. Like, they don't. Like, when volatility increases, like, no one cares about that. Like, 3, 4, 5% ETH, you know, yield on staked ETH derivative. So it's like, I don't know, like, it's, I feel like we should try that.
So there's nothing wrong with trying it out with ETH and staked ETH. But, you know, whoever uses this market, whether it's a protocol, like, as you mentioned, the idea Afif proposed a few years ago, it still needs to have someone to, you know, take it on board and actually build the whole system that runs it. And, you know, realistically, I don't think Synthetix would be running it or has the capacity to do it. So, yeah, I think that's the biggest issue there. But I don't see there's anything wrong with ETH, but as you proposed. Is ETH, technically staked ETH has a better value because it has a native yield to it.
Yes, Jackson. Yes, that's the core of the argument. Anyway, I said my piece. Afif is like vehemently against it. That's fine. I mean, this is my position. I voiced it. It is what it is. Is there anything else we need to discuss? Cab dropped off.
No, I think that was a good chat. I think it's already 10 past 10 here. And I think, I think that's a good chat for the roadmap. I'm not sure really what else in the council has anything to say, but I think we'll wait for the actual SIP to get dropped. Thanks, everyone.